Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome back to Las Vegas. You're listening to the Crazy Sexy Cool podcast, where we give our black ass millennial opinions about the crazy, the sexy, and the cool hot topics. I'm your host, Bethany, and I am joined by my friends in real life. We have Meek and Elizabeth. What's up, y'all?
What up?
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah. Hey, 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 hey.
Hey, 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 hey.
Yeah. Yo, I am
here.
Yeah, I'm a little lifted.
I wanna get lifted.
I'm lifted, like John Legend said.
That's
all
I got
today, ladies and gentlemen.
I sound like I ride the small bus.
Wanna
get lifted?
Shout bus shouting. Hey.
Shout for shouting.
Y'all get on my nerves. Like, for people listening, like, we were like mad silly, but it's my fault. I had a gummy edible today and I am done. I took that edible at like
Word to wanna wonk ya. They wonked her motherfucking ass.
Yeah, they got me. Shit. Like, I took a little bit. You know what? I should have just listened. Because I think when Liz gave me those gummies, she said, like, take a piece. Like, just kind of work your way up. Oh, and I had to go back.
Oh, you took now. Okay, so wait. You took the whole thing?
It was like a little gummy. Like a size of a Skittle. See, like a gumdrop type thing.
I mean, Meek, remember when we took cigars? We took a quarter. Yeah. And it was like... It was like... Pink. It was like the Matrix. We looked at each other and was like... Whoosh.
Yeah.
At the same damn time. It was like a whole...
It dropped at the same time. Definitely.
We looked at each other. It was like, what the...
Yo, I took that edible at like 11 a.m. Right now, it's like 9:45 and I'm still over here looking goofy as shit.
Looking like Smokey in the pigeon coop.
Like, I'm over it. Anyway, let's get into the show. So, Meek, when we were on the phone yesterday, you were talking about how, you know, we've spoken before on this show about how men will send unsolicited dick pics. But what is it like? Maybe we need to have a guy on the show. And we'd be like, you know, is it cool to send some pussy mail?
So, fellas, all the fellas that listen, because ain't nothing but, I'm going to be real. I love my lady listeners. And actually, I would love for you guys to write to me more. But a lot of times I get hit up by the fellas. Please let us know. Is it okay to receive unrequested pussy mail? You know, like... I really want to know.
What's an example of pussy mail?
I mean, like, busting it wide open and just squirting everywhere. You know what I mean? That's what I want to know. And the reason why I say that, because I just recently sent pussy mail. And I thought about it. I was like, bro, like, when I receive meat mail, I'm like, if I don't ask for it, I really don't fucking want it. So I now wonder, like, when dudes send get unrequested pussy mail... Do y'all ever look and be like, I did not ask for this. Like, don't send me your pussy lips.
I never really
on live for $1,000.
So do you like meat mail? Randomly? Meat poop?
No. If it's from the right person. But like, just like random motherfuckers, just no, I don't. Because everybody's dick is not.
Yeah, dicks are not cute.
Dick is a weird thing.
I don't like looking at it. I don't want to see your name.
I'm sorry. When the creator made a dick, like, they weren't thinking about beauty.
Okay, so, Meek, you say you sent it, but was it to someone who you slept with before?
I'm going to vote my fist. Yes, to the question, yes. Absolutely. I won't go just send dick mail to somebody. I mean, dick mail. Pussy mail to somebody that I haven't fucked before.
Like, oh, that's the thing. So is it unsolicited if you've never slept with him before? Because if a guy sends you a dick picture...
Oh, fuck. If I could have sucked this man's dick. If I didn't ask for you... If I didn't ask, do not just up and... Because you don't know if your dicks is one of those dicks for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, your shit might be real awkward looking. All discolored looking like a... A ombre. Something's got an ombre on it.
Hey, shout out to the ombres. What do you mean? That's not me.
Look, shout out to the ombres. But some brothers have a heavy contrast where, like, right, like you get to the damn pelvic area and it's like,
got tan lines.
Tan lines. Shit, that's a whole. You got some European and you got some Caucasus. You got some.
look, I don't mind the two-tone, the ombres, the tan lines. I'm with the shit.
You want the tan lines?
Yeah. You want the tan lines? So, like, even you say the ombres, but what happens if it's, like, ombre to pink?
First of all.
Look, light-skinned men got pink dicks. I don't give a fuck what y'all say. It ain't always gonna be a white man with a pink dick. What do you mean? Oh, you don't date light-skinned men? Elizabeth would know. But yes, light-skinned men have pink dicks.
Okay. So what makes
my question?
What could a guy do? Like, can guys send you dick mail unsolicited, like unrequested, like ever?
But Meek, how does he not? Okay, you didn't. You had this experience with this man. You probably stuffed the shit out of his dick. He probably think you into his dick, and he want to send you random pictures of his dick. How he know that that ain't for you? Because you didn't suck the shit out of it 2 weeks ago, and then he want to send it to you. How he know that? You know what I'm saying?
You're
like,
right.
She, you this, yes. You're right, because I do give an Oscar award-winning performance. You are absolutely right. But I guess it's one of those things where it's like, you know, test out the temp. You know, maybe start with a little sexing or something. You know what I'm saying? But like, if I'm like, T, and this is where I'm gonna be
before you get the.
I'm gonna contradict myself.
Yeah, let's say it's a double standard, dog.
Come on. Yeah.
But also, I'm with child. So can you imagine me over here playing fucking WWE with my son wrestling, and I'm answering a message? Oh shit! You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, that's
okay. Wait. So, was it sexting leading up to the pussy mail that you sent out, or was it just like surprise? Good morning.
It was a good morning. It was like, it was thinking of you. Hope you have an amazing day. Bam, pussy mail.
I knew that with booty pics. I ain't never just sent without asking.
Yes.
Because I don't be wanting to send everybody.
And to me, okay. And to be honest, it's a turning them on in inappropriate areas.
So it's maybe they think the same thing is
same for you.
You're sitting there. He don't know
you. See this double standard.
Mm. Yeah, definitely a double standard. No, thank you, sir. But if we texted and I asked you to like send it to me, or if I like, you know, reach out and be like, I need some motivation, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, go ahead. Send your dick through the mail, you know?
Yeah. All right.
y'all don't send pussy mail? Don't leave me hanging.
I do it upon request.
Upon request, exactly.
Yeah, I do.
So you're not, I have never.
Or if I'm feeling some kind of way, I'll send it invisible ink. You know, you can send like text and pictures, invisible inks, where you have to like rub your finger over the photo and it reveals it, and then it goes away.
I never use that.
It's a bit safer, so you just don't open your phone like, oh shit. No.
First off, I did that one time. The one time I did do that, he actually texted me back and complained to me and said, "That little shit you put over it, I gotta keep fucking swiping, and I can't get the full thing."
See, that's the tease. That's the show.
Yeah, he said, just send it to me regularly.
Just send it to me regularly. I ain't got time for this.
See, okay. That is requested. Okay. Let them request.
Shit.
Mm-mm. Okay. What's your invisible? What's under your invisible swivel?
It's whatever I want. It's a nude. It's a booty picture. It's a full body mirror shot. Shower so video.
You don't say vagina pics?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't say that. And you didn't say that, so I just...
Well, yeah, I do that. Okay. Yeah, especially when my nail's done, I'd be like, look, you like this color?
Oh, you like this color on the kid?
Like that contrast?
No, that's actually a really cute picture. And like, and see me, I like, especially like when my shit's sitting nice, because, you know, like, she's well... bitch. But yes, so she looks pretty, you look pretty, you know, Little pretty thing.
Yes. Look, my nails done. Yeah.
You gonna get this pussy bell.
So, all of us send, me and B send upon request. Meek send spontaneously.
Yeah, so y'all just basically, y'all three of us don't like meat meal. No, she like meat meal. She like it ombre and everything. She even like hers Neapolitan style.
Yeah, it's like an ice cream cone.
Like a little ice cream sandwich, you know, the Neapolitan ice cream sandwich.
Chocolate, vanilla, strawberry.
Sans strawberry. Sans vanilla.
A little chocolate, butter pecan, you know, layers to the brown. But pecan got them nuts, girl.
Girl, yes, talk about the nuts. Never mind, we don't got to talk about the nuts.
Please don't. They saggy, hairy.
Wait, what?
They all wrinkly looking. I don't like balls.
I don't like balls.
So we discriminate against the balls. Say what now?
I don't like putting them in my mouth. The hair getting between my teeth and shit.
Okay. Just take some floss, dog. Just, you know, get it. Yeah. I'm bullshitting now. If you getting hair, if you getting hair stuck in your teeth from balls, nigga.
Nigga, what you doing? You grinding on them bitches?
I don't know. I don't know what to do with these bitches. What are you supposed to do? What is this? You just see me. I was like, I'm gonna need y'all to.
And then the ball hair is shedding. That baby needs some vitamin D or something, or some iron pills.
Some bio oil.
I'm just kidding. Some argan oils. He should shedding. Put some tea down there. A little coconut oil or something.
Let's change the subject, guys. Oh. All right. So Saturday.
You suffer from ball hair shedding. Oh. I'm sorry.
Oh, the visual just got me all fucked up. All right. So Saturday night, I watched Versus, which was D'Angelo and Friends. Did you guys tune in or see any clips or anything?
I did. Was it just me or did D'Angelo? I feel like D'Angelo and Ghostface Killah is related in some kind of way. He's like,
why do you think that?
Because they just kind of like got like the same mannerisms and, you know, he had the long coat and shit. And like, I don't know, but it just, yeah. I feel like he had Tim's on.
So, okay. First of all, I was really excited to watch. Well, I won't say I was super excited because I am like suffering from Versus fatigue because it's just like, okay. So we had D'Angelo versus Friends. So I'm in my head, I'm thinking like, okay, we probably going to get like Badu pull up, Common might pull up, Questlove probably going to be on the drums because of course he's going to have a band, right? Maybe Raphael Sadiq is going to pull up and they're going to do Be Here. And then like Q-Tip or Bilal or somebody from that like era and that style of music, bruh, not nan single one of those people I just named showed up. So I was like, fuck.
Was it Erden Bernie?
So I mean, we can kind of say that. So DJ Scratch opened. So this started at 6 o'clock our time, Pacific Standard Time. And I was right on time. 6 o'clock, I'm looking for the whole Versus thing, you know, to go live. And nigga, that they didn't go live until like 6:15. So I'm like, okay, we already on like CP time. But DJ Scratch, he did his thing. Of course, he's playing like 90s R&B and hip hop, a little bit of 80s, a little bit of soul funk mix up in there too. And he basically just opened up until the show started at 7 o'clock, which was really funny because like D'Angelo kind of like slithered out in his coat and shit. I don't know if he was smoking a cigarette or he had a joint or what, but he had a little something. Like, he came in on some cool shit. So I'm like, okay, he gonna be hot as shit behind that piano and that fur or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, and his hat was given like Erykah Badu tees. You know, it was, he had a you know, very eclectic look. You know, kind of like Meek style. You know, Meek like her eclectic niggas, you know what I'm saying? And speaking of, Lenny Kravitz was in the comments. Quincy Jones pulled up. Like, I think this was something that everyone has been waiting for, because I think everyone wanted to see who was going to show up. So D'Angelo starts. He sounds incredible. He had a trumpet player come out. He was dope. And then he went into, I think it was, oh, shit. What's the song that's on Voodoo? I can't remember. Anyway, he did it. He sounded exactly like the track, which I thought was really dope. But he had Scratch playing the backing music. So there was no band really like playing along. He just was on his piano or organ, whatever instrument that he had. Sounded great. But I'm going to be real. It really sounded like a Tiny Desk performance. Like,
he was just, wrong with it?
I mean, if we're going to have a Versus, let's have a Versus. But if you just want to have a live performance,
fucking if you versus have a analysis.
Yeah, it's versus, nigga. It's something.
Bruh, it said D'Angelo and friends. It didn't say D'Angelo versus anybody.
I know that. And so that's what I'm waiting. So for one of the things that he said, he was like, welcome to D'Angelo and friends. And he's like, you're all my friends. And bruh, I was like, wait, so is anybody going to show up, or we are his friends and we're watching this live intimate performance? It's okay just to say if that's what it is, so we know what we're getting ourselves into. But I get it, for the advertisers and for the viewers, they want as many people to tune in. I guess they kind of like tricked us into thinking it was going to be way more than what it was. I ain't mad at it, because it was dope and he sounded incredible. But it was really dope to see Redman and Method Man come out and perform with him.
Can we just talk about how fine Method Man still is?
Yo, it was a moment. Everybody was in the comments like, nigga. And even Redman, he looks like a teenager. I don't know. It's like he just has this youthful energy. It's just not going anywhere. Like, he's still super dope. Method Man, of course, all the ladies still lusting over him. What show is he on? He has like a
Power. His own,
but isn't he on something else too? Like a Netflix series or something?
That like I don't know.
You know what
but
I'm saying?
He was on Power.
So that was really nice. But I think that was a surprise to D'Angelo. D'Angelo, I guess, thought that he was just going to come and perform and have Scratch there or whatever. So when Method Man and Redman came out, he was genuinely like, oh, shit, that's dope. You know, the show goes on. He's performing all of his hits. He's doing, like, extended versions. It was a really dope, like, vibe. But what I really appreciated was how we got a guest performance from her. So she came out and she performed Best Part. But when she came out, the way that she greeted D'Angelo, you could tell there was a mutual respect, because she's an incredible singer-songwriter. She plays instruments and just like he does. And he was just as like shocked and surprised that she was there to sing her song and kind of duet with him. So we went from her doing Best Part, and it transitioned perfectly into Nothing Ever Matters, Nothing Even Matters by Lauryn Hill and D'Angelo. And it just made everybody want a project, like a duet with them. I would love to see them do like a double
album. Oh, that would be fire.
Shit.
You know who else?
So fire.
You know who else he would do a dope duet with? Sir.
Oh, I could see that.
I would love. What? I would love Sir. To. I sure do. I saw Sir walk out Boston.
Boston Nova.
Boston Nova. Yeah.
I thought you were gonna say Boston Market. I'm like, what?
I'm about to. You know. I want to say Bella No Chase.
Bella.
That's what I wanted to say. I'm like, no, it's not Bella No Chase.
Yeah. I mean, it was the perfect transition. He sounded incredible. She sounded great live. But you could just tell there was such a huge mutual respect, and just between artists and seeing that love, mainly because D'Angelo was the man who ushered in this genre of like soul and hip hop, where it just made its own neo soul genre where we were able to get artists like Maxwell, the Music Soul Child, and Bilal and Jill Scott and everybody. It was just, he was the perfect person to usher in this era. And to see it being carried on by someone like her, who, you know, when she first came into the industry, we really couldn't tell what she looked like. She hid behind her hair and her sunglasses, and she really didn't show her face and like her album covers and artwork and stuff. And because it was about, it's supposed to be about the music, which leads me to the last song that D'Angelo did. And for some reason, people thought that he was going to like dip out before performing Untitled. How does it feel? Like, of course, that's going to be the last song he plays. That's the perfect way to close it out. But I was just kind of like reading the comments when everyone was just like calling it the Baby Oil song. When is he going to take his shirt off? When is he going to do this and do that? And I'm like, you guys just like, did you listen to Voodoo, or
you know,
did you just skim through it? Like,
when we were having that debate about music and D'Angelo, I took it to another friend of mine, and he pointed that out. He was like, the difference between D'Angelo and music is that music couldn't rely on his looks. Like, he literally wore glasses whereas, you know, D'Angelo, his music is phenomenal, but he also reached those numbers in that sky point because he also was that sex symbol as well.
Yeah.
So he pointed that out too.
It was a gift and a curse. It was like the best thing that happened to his career, but also the worst thing. Like, for him to, I think he said he hired like a trainer. He just wanted to get in shape while he was working on Voodoo. He did that. He went on set and took his shirt off and rolled his sweatpants down and, you know, filmed How Does It Feel? And it sent people over the top because, of course, the visual and the song, perfect. Like,
yeah,
that's one of the.
It was also him, though. It wasn't just the visual. It was because it looked like the way he would look down. First off, he thought he was either looking at down at his dick or is it, he was looking at an ass. I don't know, something. But if you felt, I was a young little tenderoni at the time, and I knew.
Look, I was there. Okay, I remember every morning that she'd come on MTV when I'm getting ready for school, like wanting the camera just to pan down just a little bit more. Like,
you know, and then he would like reach his hand down and then smile. Like, and then smile.
Yeah.
Like, and it wasn't just the visuals and the song, it was him. Like, everyone was, oh, you one nasty mother.
But I remember I could tell that this was probably starting to become a bit too much. Like, do you guys remember when he performed at the MTV Movie Awards? And everyone was super excited to see D'Angelo because I bet $1 billion everyone thought he was going to come out and perform Untitled. No, this nigga comes out, no shirt on, black bandana tied to the side with some like leather pants on, like super low, showing all the V-cut and all that shit. And he comes out and performs Devil's Pie. He was out there on some rock star shit, and I knew it threw everybody off in the audience. Do you guys remember that?
No.
So from what I heard, his record label did not want him to perform that. Of course, they wanted him to perform Untitled. He did not. He came out and shocked the audience because I could tell, like, he knew that all people really wanted to see was him sing some slow song with his shirt off and drive the girls crazy. But he's an artist. He's a true artist. He really gives a fuck about the craft, the lyrics, the band, the sound, everything. He was like, okay, you can look at me, but you're going to hear what I have to say. And Devil's Pie, he's literally talking about, like, I'm sure there's tons of people in the audience who he's basically, like, low-key dedicating a song to. Like, I'm not selling my soul. I don't give a fuck about the piece of the Devil's Pie. It's cash, the fame, whatever. And it was like, after that, we really didn't hear much from him. But I did get some excerpts from an article where he said, he was like, my song started being drowned out by women screaming for me to take my clothes off. After a while, I started to just stand there on stage with no shirt on just to get it out of the way. That didn't help either. They always wanted more. And it said he went to hiding for over a decade after Voodoo, working on producing music for others. And when he reemerged with Black Messiah, it was a successful return, but it wasn't the same impact as it was with Voodoo, because everyone is looking for him to be a sex symbol. It's like once you start that, it's almost as if you can't pull back. You got to keep it going. And it makes me wonder, like, do you feel like it's a double standard where women are exploited and always talked about their physical image, but when a guy does it, does he have to keep it going, or should we respect, you know, him just like we should respect all artists when they decide, like, I don't want to do this. I want it to just be about the music.
It's all about what the artist wants. And I don't think that it's a double standard. It's sexually objectifying on both things. I do think the double standard comes into play is because it's like it's written off because it's automatically assumed that all men want women screaming all over them. So it's not treated as like, you know, but I feel like it's the same thing for like female artists. You come out and try to, and, you know, base your followership off of your sexuality. And then you come back and you want to talk about, you know, fight the power, niggas gonna be like, bitch, take your fucking shirt off. Like, get the fuck out of here, you know? Like, yeah. You know? So I do think it's hard. Like, if you go into that realm, it's definitely hard to, like, to try to, like, make the focal point your art. Yeah.
So when you think of your favorite male R&B artist, do you think of how they look physically?
No, you listen to the music and the words.
Okay. Yeah, because one of my favorite R&B singers is Mr. Pastor Al Green, Lord. And the way he just did that, wow. Yes, you can just tell.
What do you do? What do you do?
Wow.
Yeah, I was probably conceived off one of those songs.
Not doubt it. You probably conceived off of Jodeci, honey. You wasn't.
Young lady. Yeah, like,
no, you was conceived off of
No,
somebody rocking. That's what you was just conceived off.
H-Town.
Body rocking, knocking the boots.
Yes, I mean, overall, I really appreciated the verses, and it was just a way to kind of give D'Angelo his flowers. And I know that was different for verses, you know, with Timbaland and Swiss Beatz, just to try a different format, just to see, like, you know, maybe we can get people to pull up.
Say they asked, and even though I know you compared it to Tiny Desk, not saying you was saying it was negative or positive, but Tiny people play Tiny Desk as background music. So, like, I think I actually think it was smart for them to try to, like, pivot and find, like, maybe a different avenue instead of, like, because the verses is, like, is declining, and they need to save it.
Afterwards, on IG Live, Swiss and Timbaland said that it was supposed to be D'Angelo versus Maxwell on Valentine's Day, but it didn't work out, and D'Angelo was ready, so they just went that route. That would have been that would have been great. And I wonder why, you know, that didn't happen. What was it on Maxwell's part where he was like, maybe he just didn't want that smoke?
I don't know. That's a good call. That's pretty close, because they catalog is around the same. And they got some. Anytime I hear lifetime, like, anytime I hear that shit, it takes me back to that specific time that song came out, and you heard it every morning on the radio, like,
And Fortunate was great.
I would say Untitled would go to A Woman's Worth. So those two songs, because once he came out with A Woman's Worth, you heard that, like, that song follows him every fucking way. Everybody wants to sing that song.
Thanks to Love and Basketball and MTV Unplugged and all that. Yeah, that was a moment.
Yeah.
So also they said D'Angelo was the first artist to arrive super early. He got there 3 hours early, and the pre-show was going to be an hour regardless. So they literally had DJ Scratch there so he could kind of warm up the audience, allow people to pile in before the show got started. So he wasn't late. He was there. He was ready to go. And I really appreciate that part. That's why I feel like we have to start giving people their flowers. Like, I love Lauryn Hill to death, but everyone knows she's habitually, like, she doesn't give a fuck about time. She's going to come and show up when she's ready, and her chakras are aligned and the energy is right. I get
that
as an artist.
I respect it. Yeah. That. Mm-hmm. But instead of putting that time, just say when I arrive. Like, instead of saying Lauryn Hill, 7 o'clock, I'm going to get there when I get there. That's what she should start saying.
To be determined.
Right.
But I'm going to be real. I probably said this before, but I don't want to see Lauryn Hill in the verses. Maybe she could do a situation how she did with, like D'Angelo. I would like to see her come and perform her shit. But there are certain instances where artists aren't cleared to perform certain songs. Luckily with D'Angelo, you know, this is his stuff that he's written and produced and he arranged, you know, with artists that he's still on good terms with. But Lauryn
Hill, absolutely not.
She still has to have things cleared by, you know, people that she worked with in the past. So no, you wouldn't want to see Lauryn in a situation like this, or you want to see her go up against somebody?
I wouldn't even watch Lauryn Hill perform at a family's get together event.
Oh, okay? Wow.
Like, I love Lauryn to death. Like, I really do. But it's I've seen her perform way too many times, and every single time it's annoying. I try to give the artist they flowers and like try to appreciate their artistry, but low key she just a little bit too far in her head. That's just my opinion. And the reason why I say that is I've seen her perform, and through the whole damn song, she's like, turn me up. Bring me down. Like, over here. Like, multiple shows, though. So it wasn't like, oh, just that night. No.
Maybe it's her
this is like her thing. That's my point. She's in her head too much. And it's like, you've made it, love. Like, I don't know if anyone told you, but you made it. You can sit here and do one of these. What Ginuwine do? Because Ginuwine do one of these numbers and just play the track, and they'll sing all your shit for you. But like, she does all these. She has these different like mannerisms. Like, and then like the being late. The first time I saw Lauryn Hill, I was eight months pregnant, and I went and saw her. My sister had surprised me. Mm-hmm. I stood there because it was Brooklyn Bowl. I stood there.
Yeah, there's no seat.
In my flip flops, okay? Because anyone who's been pregnant, no, at that point.
Yeah, you wear anything flat.
You won't, because it was like eight. It was like eight going into nine. I was huge, dude. I stood there for 2.5 hours.
No, ma'am.
2.5 hours, and I'm not over exaggerating. And I was just like,
you told me this, and I was like, Meek, why would you pull up to see Lauryn Hill 8 months pregnant, knowing?
Bro, not even that though. You wait 2.5 hours, and then the band start. I'm like, all right, fuck it. I'm about to see her. This heifer took the initiative to rearrange all the motherfucking songs. So songs that were supposed to be slow are now up tempo and vice versa. And you go and you like, wait, what's this? What song is this?
Exactly.
And it's X Factor. I'm like, okay, bitch, I can understand you doing that to, like, you know, might have some, but you just lost one. I can understand you. But X Factor, like, you let that shit ride. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just like, yo, but this is how I knew that she does not give no fucks about what the fans may think or what the expectations are. I'm going to be the artist that I fucking want to be, and y'all going to fucking love it. Like, which I do respect, but when you say, am I going to go, do I want to see her? No. Y'all can tell me about it, but I ain't about to go. You're not about to catch me there. Like, she can be singing.
Safe to say that she lost one?
She definitely has. Might have some, but you just lost me. Just saying. She could be singing, whatever faithful song, the Christmas song in front of a damn Christmas tree lit up. I would leave. I'd be like, I'll come back. Let me know when the food ready. Lauryn about to sing. I'll be out. I'm done.
See, that's why I'm telling. I wouldn't want to see her in the verses. Maybe that format would work. I've heard people say, like, yeah, I've seen her live, and she performed it the way like the album sounds. But I feel like she has to have some sort of like clearance issues where she can't perform certain things unless she is given permission.
Well, she was getting sued for that album. She was getting big time sued for that album because there were a lot of people that said that they like gave tribute in some type of way, and they didn't get properly, you know, So yeah, she was definitely getting sued for that album.
She wasn't getting credit. She wasn't crediting people for their contributions.
Well, to her defense, she said that we were all just creating. Like, she didn't go saying, like, oh, I'm going to make Miss Education. Like, they were just, like, a jam sesh, you know? Yeah. And so, like, she didn't, her, like, argument, she didn't think, like, I don't know. I'm going to stay out of that because I wasn't in the room. I was not in the room.
Would you want to see Lauryn Hill, Liz?
I mean, not after y'all just told me the experience was. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm full on that.
Look, Liz gonna be like, you said 7 o'clock. It is now 7:05. Like, where is she at? This is insulting, disrespectful, and outright rude.
Liz, don't play that shit. All right.
That. Hey.
No, but I can see what Versus is trying to do. I think, you know, showing advertisers like, look, we can pull in this many people just for one artist. And they did a good job. I'm still waiting on the numbers to come in.
All I'm trying to say is you got to give leniency because you are a stickler on these Versus rules. Like, you be the first one to... So if it's going to be Versus, first off, they need a catalog. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh my God.
Music.
Yeah, it's 20 songs versus 20 songs.
Bro, you go anytime we have a debate over this Versus, you are the first one to be like, rule number one. If it's going to be a Versus, like, I get it.
Hey, y'all, Versus, hire Bethany Anderson.
Hi. Hi, Kimberlyn. Hi, Swizz.
She's on the job. She won't let you down.
Bring me in. Put me in, coach.
Put me in.
All right. So last week we talked about Malcolm and Marie, right? And I expressed my concern with this fictional couple that after being together for 5 years, Malcolm decides to run down all of his exes and pretty much, you know, call himself out. Showing that he likes to deal with or date
broken women
or save, play superhero to broken women, all with a similar issue, which is in this case, drug addiction, some sort of destructive habit. And so what I said, when it comes to like when I'm dating someone or getting to know someone, I asked them, who have you been in love with? Like who were the women or partners in your life that you were in love with? And what did someone, what was it, Meek or Liz, someone text you or sent you a DM saying like,
I took the question on IG and people was like sending in, you know, their opinions. And this one person, one of our dope listeners, he listens every week. Shout out to you. You gonna know who you are once I say what I'm about to say. Said, I asked them, what would they ex say about them? What they asked me.
I think that's a good question. But are people really going to be honest? Like, what would your ex say about you? Liz, what would your ex say about you?
What would he say about me?
Yes. And be honest.
Be honest, please. I mean, I'm going to be honest, but is he going to be honest if I was to ask him? I don't know. What would he say?
But it's from your perspective, like how things left off. Like, how does he feel about you to this day? To this day.
How things left off or to this day? To this day is different than how things left off.
Well, to this day.
Okay, so what would your ex say about you?
I mean, I think he would say, you know what I'm saying? I'm proud of you, girl. You're doing your thing.
You know what?
Can I hit that one more time?
No, that part.
It's definitely facts. Honestly, what would my ex say?
Yeah, honestly, so were you lying about...
What
you said before? Could he hit it again?
No, I mean that's what I think he would say.
No, but honestly, Can you please? Oh, never mind.
Can I please wait at what?
Some of the corrective criticisms.
What?
Never mind.
No, I'm lost. Go ahead and say it.
No, like when he tries to like call you out or like check you on certain things, like because he gives you positive stuff, but like he also be like, you always do this or you do this and you need to be doing this.
But he needs to be doing, you know what? I'm not even going to go
there. What would your ex say?
Never mind. That's the reason why I said never mind.
What would your ex say about you? Do we need to come back to you? Think about it.
We ain't coming back.
You coming back. Meek, what would your ex...
Nope. That's all. That's it. He would... I mean, he wouldn't agree on everything that he sees that I do or hear that I do, whatever that might be. But I think he still will tell me, he still will give me, like, you know, positive, you know, things. Like, you're doing a good job. But, I mean, he's still going to talk his shit. Like, you go out every weekend. You always outside. Ain't it a pandemic? Like, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know.
What song, if anything, if he could dedicate a song to you, what would it be?
Don't take your love away, baby. Don't take your
take a minute for the note to register for me.
Wait, what song is this, nigga?
That's a lot.
Like, key. I'm like,
Avant.
Yeah, don't take your love away from me. I need you.
Okay. What about you, Meek?
And be honest
to me. I mean, I don't know how. What would you categorize as an ex? It's any of my exes, right? Or just one in particular?
Any. Mm-mm. Any ex.
I want the last one.
Like, if you're having a conversation, if you're having a conversation with a man that you're like dating or seeing, like getting a bit serious with, and he asked you about your exes or past lovers or whoever, like who would you talk to him about? Like who would you say, oh, well, this guy in particular?
I'll give two. Okay. So I do have an ex, but then I also have my baby's father. And mm-hmm. I feel like my BD's opinion, because of what his interactions are with me, you know what I mean, should matter. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So anywho, I'm gonna give two. The last one, he gonna say, I'm an amazing woman. He respects the hell out of me. I've truly impacted his life. He also says, I go too hard, though. Like, and what I mean by too hard is, like, if I have an issue with you, I'm gonna tell you I have an issue with you. Now, there's stages to how I bring it up, but once you get to that ultimate stage, it's very direct, very assertive, very, like, you know, like, there's not going to be any type of miscommunication. And we had that as an issue. And he was like, no, I hear you. I get it. Yeah, so he'd be like, and sometimes when he hears that tone in my voice, he'd be like, damn, Meek, you go from 0 to 100. That's something that he says. Like, I go 0 to 100. I mean, but who didn't know that?
And BD?
And yeah.
Oh, BD. BD wants, I'm not going to say that. He would say that he's proud of me. I'm an amazing mother. And you should come kick it. You should come kick it for a little bit. I get that. Get that too.
Okay, pick one. Right. What song would they dedicate to you right now?
Oh my God. Something stupid. Especially the last one. When I tell you it's low-key a disconnect, like...
No, just pick one. Which one? What? Pick one song for one.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something stupid. Fucking that Drake and... If I ever... Made me... No, I'm sorry.
Oh,
that song. Don't have song. If I ever sound like Garth Brooks, they need to put Garth Brooks on that bitch.
Yo, that song is everywhere, bruh. I've seen the video like 10 times. Like, I didn't ask for that. For me,
Bethany,
for me, my ex, I feel like when we first broke up, he would have been like, fuck that bitch. That's the song that he would dedicate. He would be so pissed. But I think we've gotten to the point where we're straight. But, you know, I could be wrong, but the vibes that I get might be on some Beyonce and Drake mine.
Okay. I just want to say you're mine, you're mine.
Okay. Okay.
I think, but I could be wrong. You know, I could be, you know, reading the whole thing wrong, but that's what I think.
What was it? When was it? What was your last relationship? How long ago?
Oh, Lord. Before the one that I'm in now. Yeah.
Go ahead, claim it, shawty. Claim that shit.
Yes, honey.
No, it's funny because I've been getting texts like, yo, I heard what you said last episode. You said you got a boyfriend.
Right.
I was like,
yeah. I got a boyfriend.
You can't say three. You can't say three single moms anymore.
Okay. I mean, look, I'm what they say on taxes. They say we single till you get married.
Okay.
But I do have a boyfriend, so.
Wait, no.
Wait, what?
She pours coffee.
Yeah. Sagittarius. Well, my taxes. That's not what my taxes said.
My taxes say I'm single. Damn.
Facebook. Okay. Y'all look at that Facebook relationship status. Y'all need to look at the taxes. See what them taxes say.
That's what them taxes say.
Yeah. Yeah. So last relationship was
2.5 years ago.
Me.
She's doing math. She's like, okay, carry the one.
Relationship, not situationship. Relationship that you actually called him your man.
I'm trying to realize that, like, I have an avoidant behavior.
Go ahead, Dr. Meek. Go ahead and diagnose yourself.
I ain't about to do that because I'm about to go down the whole rabbit hole. But I do. I actually learned about that last week, too.
What does that mean?
So, like, if you've experienced some type of trauma or some type of, like, or some type of situation that may have influenced your processing of certain emotions, you react to it differently. Some people create, you know, become codependent or have a dependent, you know, habit. But on the other side of the spectrum, it's avoidant. So, like, instead of going through, like, say, like me, I grew up and I saw my mom, like, endure heartache, like, physically saw it, you know, and mm-hmm. I also saw what it did to her mentally. It's possible that, like, because of that, I don't ever want to get to that or experience that. So I'll quickly avoid, dismiss, or just don't involve myself in heavy, committed relationships because I don't ever want to experience that.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. I could kind of
that's real.
I kind of think that way a little bit too. That's crazy because like now that it comes back to me, just I want to say 2 days ago, you know, one of my exes told me, he was like, "You don't let nobody love you. You don't let nobody get close."
Mm. Mm. Oh, we just got deep over here. Okay.
So I was like, "Oh shit, maybe you're right."
Yeah, it's crazy how you think.
I used to feel the same way. Yeah. I don't know, like this, my relationship that I'm in now really came out of nowhere. But I don't know. For some reason, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna put all those boundaries and not boundaries because you got to have boundaries, but like putting the wall that I've built up and just, you know, I had tunnel vision and all I wanted to see was like, you know, my success and yeah. But allowing someone in my world was like I had to make a conscious decision to like to do that there and let that happen. So is this something that you guys are like completely against? Like you like are you guys not looking to date? Because no, like how I know Liz, she said she didn't want to date. Like she doesn't want a boyfriend. She's not looking to get married. But I know Meek, you want your person. Or is this something that if the right person comes around that you'll knock those walls down and let them in, or are you making a conscious decision like not right now?
For me personally, I think it's a mix of both. And the reason why I say that is that I also recognize that, and for me to truly experience pure bliss the way I would like, the way I desire to, I have to, you know, conquer or break down some walls within myself, you know? Yeah. So like that. And the reason why I say that is that I realized that, you know, when emotions are involved and it's this commitment, certain insecurities start to feel flare up when you feel inadequate in a certain department. Maybe, and that comes from you not dealing with it before the relationship. So, like, you know how we have like these different definitions of success. There we go. My lips was trying to do something that my brain didn't want to do.
Tongue was tied.
Say what?
Tongue tied.
Yeah. So yeah. Different definitions of what successful looks like, and that comes from, you know, past situations, maybe, you know, being poor and knowing what it looks like to struggle. And you might identify it as, oh, being highly educated or having certain type of accolade, you know. So I'm not saying I have to check everything off the list, but I just don't want to have these like flare-ups within, because it's not up to my partner to fix me. Now, granted, you may learn something, and, you know, like, and within you learning something, some, you know, you may evolve that way, but it's not up to my partner to be my remedy. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I think that I need to deal with that. And it's going to be within the next 2 years. So it's not nothing like extensive, but I'm not opposed to intimacy. You know, so I do, and that's the reason why, like, if I were to engage with somebody, I would like to meet someone that's on the same level, that's, like, focused on whatever their life goals are, and that way we can evolve, we can experience each other, and there's this understanding that, like, you know what I mean, as to where we are and what our destination is. You get what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely. Yep. Like, you're on a journey in the same journey. Car.
And it doesn't, and it also, it kind of, it
will improve. I like how you put that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, but also what was I about to say? Like, there's no, it removes the expectation, you know, like when there's like, oh, boyfriend, I could just call you my friend for right now. We have a clear understanding between each other. You know, but for everyone's like, oh, the final destination is husband. Like, I'm not thinking about that. I want to have the mental space to where I can focus on what I need to focus on. And I don't have this commitment to another. You know what I mean? I can fully commit to meet this for a minute, you know?
Yeah. And you have a partner that also
understands it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of and just like what you said, it's like a travel buddy. Like, yeah, traveling alone is nice, but when you have someone that's like on the same wave as you and you guys can enjoy conversations
and share each other goals
and
experiences. And but without having that main title that locks you down.
Or worry about, you know.
Yeah,
and then, you know, when some people be like, oh, well, emotions still come involved, but the reason why, it's nothing wrong with emotion getting involved. What's wrong is that the emotion is not addressed. So it's like, I just need to have trust that you respect me enough that you're not going to disrespect, you know what I'm saying, me, or in a way where it'll humiliate me, or, you know what I'm saying, like, that you're not going
to come back. It has to have the same loyalty in when it comes to it. Loyalty to align.
So mutual respect, yeah.
Exactly. Right. And so it's like one of those things where it's like, okay, say you have a friend with benefits and we both want some, like, you know, if you're not feeling this no more, if this doesn't work for you, like, communicate that. Or, like, you know, if you feel like you're starting to, you know, drift off to somebody else, communicate that. I'm not going to like it. It doesn't mean that, because I'm telling you to communicate it to me, doesn't mean that I'm automatically going to like it. But guess what? I have to respect it, because these are the terms and conditions that you and I agree to. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not trying to say that I'm going to, like, you know, but I'm just saying, just like, hypothetically, like, it doesn't automatically mean that I'm going to just be like, oh yeah, okay, go off with her. No, it doesn't.
I always say is, when you communicate this way, you give the person the option to say, I want to deal with this or I don't. And some people don't. They want to take that option away from you and kind of control how you feel about them instead of just being honest.
Yeah.
That's where the shit gets fucked up.
And that's where the emotions, when they, like, emotions get involved. Like, no, emotion is going to be involved either way.
Either way.
Either fucking way. It's about
at least you being real. So.
Yeah,
but ladies, it doesn't even matter, like, how real you get.
It don't.
This type of like us having this conversation and this type of conversations to certain guys will scare them away. Like they don't know what to do with it. They wouldn't know what to do with it. They're like, oh, what kind of female is this?
If it scares them away, that lets you know that that's not who you're supposed to be dealing with.
True. They still
they're weeding themselves out.
They're not ready for it. But let's just say this. Men, I do understand that, like, a lot of women say this, and you may feel that a lot of women are not ready for this. But you also have to understand that even though we're asking for this, you have to also recognize that it's new to us. So I do think that, like, it does take some getting used to for a woman to hear a man be honest about his, you know, the way he views her and what their stance is. So if she does, if she ends up tripping, she's okay. She ends up tripping, but the fact of the matter is you're being honest with her. Like, that's what it is. It's not about what her reaction is. It's about you practicing honesty and not manipulation or avoidance. You know what I'm saying? Because men do that shit too. Like, oh, I didn't say nothing. She just did it. Yeah, but you didn't deny it. You know what I'm saying? Like, You didn't clarify things while she's just out here doing whatever the hell she's doing. So yeah, like
little fucker.
Communication is key, man. It's so much like I feel like there will be so much. That's the shit I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about.
So I want to make a point. It is March 1st. If you listen to this as this episode posts, it is Women's History Month. All of March, we were all about the women. So I want to thank all of our listeners who tune in to these three Black women. We out here doing our thing, hustling as mothers, taking care of what we got to take care of. And we still, you know, pull up every week to give y'all a show. So thank you to everyone. And thank you to all the women who listen and shout us out and share us on their social media platforms. Really, really appreciate it. Meek, do you have a quote for us this week, Shawty?
I did, and it was so deep and you know, but I'm gonna switch it up because it's women.
Can we get both?
It's women's appreciation. No, because no, that's not it. That's not in the budget. So.
Negative.
Ain't gonna ever
happen.
Ain't gonna happen.
So,
never. You say it's women's history month?
Yes.
Okay. So
call it Women's Appreciation Month. It's Women's Month. How about that?
Okay. So in appreciation, and we all, cause, and I want to say this. I want to say this because we have to be inclusive to the great mother. I ain't no puta. I keep my punani clean. From the great RuPaul, honey. And so, and I say that to say, I'm going to extend this woman's month on over to our transgender because, yes, we see you, we hear you, and you's important, okay? Yes.
Yes, baby. Yes, yes, yes. All right, so thank you for tuning in. Make sure you catch us on YouTube so you can see all of the craziness that we be doing. We be goofy as shit. And subscribe.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Crazy Sexy Cool Pod. Also, we are doing a special red light special episode. So get your letters in. If you want to ask us anything, we'll read the shit on the show and give you, you know, our solicited advice. Send us an email at crazysexycoolpod@gmail.com. You might not like it.
We're
gonna say what we gotta say. All right.
Oh, wait. One second. I wanted to take a moment to shout out that listener, Mr. Marcus Green. I went back, looked up your name.
Marcus.
Thank you.
All right, y'all. We'll holler at y'all next week.